It was really nice to be where it was quiet and peaceful, even if my wife did catch a bigger fish than I did. We both caught fish, but she caught a bigger one. What do you do when you pray to God sincerely and he doesn't respond? What do you do? In Matthew 6, the Lord was giving his disciples some instructions. And he said, "Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or withal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." When is the last time that you talked with your Heavenly Father and seemingly got no answer? Does that situation do anything to your faith? Does it make you question your prayer motive and the way you're going about your praying? I would think that in most cases, you're trying to determine what the will of God is for you. When there is seemingly no answer from God, what are you supposed to do? Now, folks, that's a perfectly legitimate question. It's one that all of us have to face. You're going to have to face it at some time if you haven't faced it already. I'm sure you have. This morning, I'd like to speak with you about prayer and answers from God. I just spent some extended time with our Heavenly Father in the mountains, talking with him and to him about the future. I didn't get the answers I was looking for, but I did get answers. Let's look at all of our situations. We have a relationship with our Heavenly Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. That relationship is explained to us in the Word of God. What do we know? Well, we know that God is a holy Trinity. He's comprised of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And they all have different relationships with us. Your relationship to the Father and your relationship to the Son and your relationship to the Holy Spirit is different with each one of those personalities. They are people. They are personality. The Holy Spirit is here with us. The Father and the Son right now are in heaven. The Son is making intercession for you. That's what he said he was going to do. He said he would make intercession for you personally. So that leaves the Holy Spirit. He is the one who's going to bring the answers. He's the one who's going to do the leading. Once we have received the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, once you have received him, the moment that you trusted him, the moment that you believed in your mind and your heart that he was who he said he was, the Holy Spirit indwelled your body. He is there right now. He is there for a purpose. God knew what he was doing when he set things up the way he did. Sometimes we seem to expect to have God answer immediately when we ask or when we call to him. That doesn't always happen, at least not for me. A couple of weeks ago, I was talking to God about some very important things. They were important to me, and I wasn't getting the answers that I was expecting. I wasn't getting the answers that I expected because the answers were coming from the Holy Spirit and not from the Father. That can be somewhat disturbing because you don't know quite how to pray. You suddenly know what God's will is for you, but you weren't expecting things to go that way. At least you are not ready for that kind of direction from God right now. How does that kind of thing change the way you pray? The Apostle Paul told the Thessalonians to pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. When I got an answer in my heart, I wasn't sure that it was being properly understood by me. And maybe you have the same problem from time to time. So I began praying for the church people and just thinking about what the Holy Spirit had told me. I didn't want to go where my Heavenly Father was taking me. So I went in a different direction with my prayers. You ever done that? That didn't help. I knew what the Lord was telling me in my heart. And so do you many times. When he leads you, when he tells you what he has planned for you. The Apostle Paul gave us a command from God. We need to obey that command no matter what's going on in our lives. I had received an answer from God through the Holy Spirit. But folks, it wasn't the answer that I wanted, or the answer that I had planned on. I decided that I would obey what God was telling me. Here's what he told me. Listen to this. This is the word of God. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. He said, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. I had made my prayer to God, and I had an answer that I was not ready for. If you ever prayed to God, having your mind made up as to how God was going to answer your prayer ahead of time. And that's not the answer he gave you. At one time, there was a cliche going around. My mind is made up. Don't confuse me with facts. And you know, we still act that way. At least I do. I thought that the Holy Spirit had already showed me what he was going to do. But I came to the conclusion that it was my heart that had made up my mind. Not God. The Lord wants all of us to pray so that we will not enter into temptation. That phrase appears 6 times in the New Testament. Pray that you enter not into temptation. That was even in the Lord's Prayer when the Lord taught his disciples how to pray. An example of what Jesus was working on and approaching the evening of his arrest, and he went to the Garden of Gethsemane with 3 of the disciples to pray. And he told them to stay there and pray where they were, and he would go a little further on. Remember when he returned? They were asleep. Let's look at what he said. Matthew 26, 40 and 41. And he cometh to the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. That's one of the times. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Folks, we live in a tabernacle of flesh, every one of us. And it's not as strong as we might think it is. Have you ever tried to pray at night? Fall asleep? I'm going to save my prayer time till night. Don't I have time during the day? I'm too busy. Start praying at night. Next thing we know, the alarm's going off. It's morning. Ever done that? Jesus, who we are supposed to pattern our lives after, had a different attitude about prayer. There were times when he prayed all night. All night. Let me give you some scripture for that. Luke 6, 12 through 16. Another lesson on prayer, Luke 6, 12 through 16. And it came to pass in those days that he went unto a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom he named apostles, Simon, whom he named Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor. All these men were the result of God's prayer all night long. All night. He was serious that he was going to choose 12 men. He spent the night praying about it. Folks, you and I sometimes have things come up in our lives that we need to spend time praying about. Now, we pray a little bit here during the day and a little bit over there, and we work in a lot of prayer time. but nothing like Jesus did. Jesus prayed all night. This is a significant passage of Scripture because Jesus, though he was God, God in the flesh, needed God's guidance in what he was going to do the next morning. He was going to choose the 12 disciples, the 12 apostles. And so he spent the night with God, talking to him about this, probably discussing it with him. When you and I pray, we're not just supposed to bring a list of things. This is, I want this, 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 and this. We're supposed to have conversations with God. God wants to talk to you through his Holy Spirit and through your heart, your soul. He really does. And he can't do that if you don't go to him and give him some time. We have to have time with God and listen. Not here. Listen here. In our soul. God, what do you want me to do? 2 weeks ago, I left with my mind all made up as to what God's plan was for me. For the next period of my life. And I got alone with God. I got talking to God and I got praying with God. And the Holy Spirit showed me something. He showed me what his plan was, and it was different from mine. And people, sometimes that's going to happen to you. Be ready. Be ready to accept God's plan because it's going to be perfect. God prayed all night. Jesus prayed all night before he chose the disciples. May I show you something that Jesus told his disciples about prayer? It goes to the method of praying. Having been a Catholic before I got saved, I used to pray like I was taught in my catechism. I would say, I would pray the same prayer over and over, like Hail Mary or the Rosary. Listen to what Jesus said about praying. Very important. Matthew 6, 7 and 8. Matthew 6, 7 and 8. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be ye not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him. Before you ask him, God knows what you need. Do you see that Jesus said not to use vain repetitions as the heathen do? Prayer can be a regular conversation with God and just you. He knows what's bothering you. In most cases, he's already started to provide an answer before you ever get around to praying about it. Last week, Gabriel and I were in a very special place. There were only a couple of people around during the entire week. I had a chance to talk to the Lord about a couple of things I wanted the Lord to direct me in. I was sitting there on the porch overlooking Crystal Lake, and I was alone, except for Gabriel. So I talked to the Lord. You have something important that you need to talk to God to, that you need to talk to God about, that you need to talk with God about. If you will surrender to the Holy Spirit, you could get alone with the Lord and let Him direct you to the place where He wants to use you. Paul talked about doing that, and not many people do get alone with the Lord. Look at Romans 8, beginning at verse 26. Romans 8, beginning at verse 26. It tells us, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And He that searcheth the heart, that would be the Holy Spirit, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Folks, that is such an important phrase. The will of God. What is God's will for you? I don't care if you're 3 or 300. Some of us feel like we're that old sometimes. God has a purpose for you. God has a plan for you. God has a will for you. And He wants you to be successful for Him. He wants you to be happy. When He sent the Holy Spirit to you, He sent love, peace, love, joy, peace, joy. That's how our life is supposed to be. Sometimes we just don't know where to start. So the Holy Spirit helps us get started. There's always one thing that we can pray about every day. God needs laborers in His field to help harvest the fruit. You're not here without a purpose. Jesus told us that in Matthew 9, 37 and 38. Matthew 9, 37 and 38 says, then saith He to His disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. That is an important command that Jesus gave. And there's a danger for each one of us in that, because God may say to you, go. Go. You be the one to tell. You be the one to go there and explain to that person what Jesus Christ can do for them. It's always good to ask God to send more laborers into the harvest to help harvest the fruit that's available. When's the last time you prayed that God would make you fruitful? When is the last time that you prayed that God would make you fruitful? When's the last time you led a soul to the Lord? There are millions of them out there. You know many of them. Not a million, but you know many of them. You know some of those who need to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And that's the purpose that God has called you for. Have you ever thought to ask God to lay somebody upon your heart to pray for? God, give me somebody I can pray for. And maybe I can lead them to the Lord. Maybe I can share Jesus with them. Have you prayed that? Try it. God will give you a name. God is faithful. Even when we're not, God is faithful. You pray that prayer. God, give me somebody to pray for, and he will give you a name. I guarantee it. His word says so. Somebody in particular that God would use you to minister to. I'm concerned when we don't spend enough time in prayer for each other. I need your prayers every day. And James said something, said some significant things about prayer. When's the last time that you called for the deacons to come and pray over you because you were sick? I'm putting our deacons on the spot. That's what the Bible says about it. This is what James said about it. James 5. Look at James 5, 14 through 16. James 5, 14 through 16. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church or the deacons, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray for one another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I've heard some stories about deacons and pastors going and praying for people when they were sick. It used to be that when someone got sick, that they would call for the deacons to come and pray over them. They don't seem to do that anymore. There's one prayer that Jesus taught all of the disciples. And I want us to go over that prayer again this morning. You know the prayer. But I want us to look at it together this morning. You will find it in Matthew chapter 6. There's another version of it in the Bible, but I want to look at this particular version. Matthew 6, 9 through 15. The disciples had come to Jesus, said, "Teach us to pray." And this was his answer. "After this manner, therefore, pray ye: Our Father, which art in heaven, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." And then Jesus added a few words after this. He said, "For if you forgive men their trespasses or their debts, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." I like that. But there's another verse behind that. But it says, "But if ye forgive not men their trespasses or their debts, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses." Who likes to hold a grudge? There's no place for that in the Christian life. In verse 9, Jesus is saying that if we should reverence the name of God, Jesus asked for God's kingdom to come to the earth. One day it will. There will be a day when Jesus will come, return to this earth. He will destroy all evil. And we will reign with him 1,000 years upon this earth. Then comes the important part. Jesus asked us to forgive all of those who have ever offended us, so God can forgive our offenses. If we don't forgive our debtors or those who offend us, we will not be forgiven our debts or our offenses. Not forgiving plants a seed in your heart and your soul. And that seed that is planted by lack of forgiveness is a very short, ugly word. Bitterness. Bitterness springs up from that seed and it permeates your life. It fills your life. Forgive, folks. Forgive no matter what. And then Jesus does ask God to keep us from temptation. And the best way to do that is not be where we can be tempted. Stay away from those places. Jesus finishes with praise for the Father. This is the kingdom. Power and the glory for everything belongs to God, our Heavenly Father. You need something? Talk to Him. Let Him show you what He wants for you. Remember that the Father and Jesus are in heaven. The Holy Spirit is the one that's going to work down here right now. So don't be surprised if he answers your prayers in the future. Look for him, and your answer will be there. Father, we do not have your thoughts. Your thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Your ways are higher than our ways. But Father, we are willing to let the Holy Spirit lead us and teach us and use us and even empower us, Father, where there is a lack of power. May your will be done in each heart. May we spend time with thee and may we get answers. Answers that please you, answers that are according to your will, and we will praise you for all that you do, because we ask these things in Jesus' name.